The reading this morning is from Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. Yet when I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me those who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in a rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Thank you, Mike. If you could turn to the person next to you and share what stood out to you.
Righty, all righty. Cool, what were a few things that stood out for people? It's such a great psalm, isn't it? I'm super excited to be preaching on it this morning. What were a few things that stood out for people? You knew me before I was born. Yeah, that's... Sorry, what was that? Fearfully and wonderfully made. Yes. Each and every one of us. Yeah. Anything else?
He knows the number of our days.
He knows the number of our days, yeah. Full knowledge. That we can't hide. Yeah, we really can't hide from him. We can try to. Hard out. That's cool. That's good. A few more. Pardon? Precious thoughts, yeah. Yeah. We can't escape him, yeah. That he is there when we don't feel it. Even in the darkest valley, you are there. That's right. Such a good psalm, and I will be coming back to it soon. Just got to say, I'm feeling like a bit of an irresponsible adult because I went to hang out with my sister this weekend, and we know how to talk and to laugh the night away. And I went to bed last night very late, and she was like, "You do realize it's daylight savings tomorrow?" And I was like, "Is it the one where we gain an hour or lose an hour?" She's like, "Lose an hour." It's a little bit. Anyway, poor choices, but that's okay. Some of you might have heard this story before, but So Caleb is from England, I'm from New Zealand, we met in England, he came out to New Zealand to meet my parents, we got engaged, and then we had to make the big decision of like, okay, so where are we going to live? Like, one side of the world or the other side of the world? Will we live in the UK or will we live in New Zealand? And so we went to, we got engaged in New Zealand, and we went down to Ngāti Awa, which is a monastery just outside of Waikanae that Bishop Justin and Jenny started over a decade ago, probably two decades ago now. Anyway, we spent time in their beautiful chapel there down by the river. And we went there to discern what was God, where was God calling us when we got married to live. And so we spent an hour in silence, separate from each other, just waiting on God, asking him, where are you calling us to live when we get married? And we come back together, and I say to Caleb, I'm like, honey, it's okay. I strongly feel that God is calling us to live in the UK, so you don't have to leave your family. Like, I feel really good about that. I feel that God's clearly said that. And then you know what Caleb said? Oh, I really feel like God's calling us to live in New Zealand. And I was like, okay, cool, what do we do with that? And so anyway, after some time of discerning and just praying through that moment, what we felt God was saying is that actually we're going to have a season in both. And that is what has happened. So we did go to the UK first and we spent 2 years there. And then there was this evening on a Sabbath, we'd just finished watching You've Got Mail with Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks. And Caleb sat bolt upright in bed and said, Billy, God's calling us back to New Zealand. And I was like, what? I'd like done all the mahi with Jesus of having my children in England, away from my family. We were looking at theological colleges to go to. And I was just like, whoa. It was just like this massive like turnaround. And we then, over the next 2 months, did an Ignatian spirituality practice, which is where you imagine you've made the decision to stay to stay in England. And then we spent a season imagining we'd made the decision to move to New Zealand and just allow God to work through that process, and we felt him call us back to New Zealand, and now here we are in Whanganui. Today I want to talk about discernment. How do we discern God's voice and where he's leading us? Because sometimes it can feel really confusing because there's so many competing voices, and what we want to hear for our lives is God's voice because he is Lord and we've chosen to live our lives following him. And I want to talk about that actually there are big discernments to make. Big things we have to discern in life, like where are we going to live, who am I going to marry, what job am I going to do? But then actually there's just every single day, in our faithful obedience to Christ, we make little discernments. And what I like to picture it as is if you've got a bucket, and you fill a bucket with lots and lots of little stones to the top, if you try to then put some big bricks in it, it's like awkward, and you've got to push it in, and then the little stones kind of fall out, and it's hard to get the big blocks in. But if you have an empty bucket and you put the big blocks in and then you pour the small stones over, they just kind of find their way in. And so I like to think of that as the big blocks have got to be seek ye first the kingdom of God, seek God first, and then all these things shall be added unto you. So we want to look at what it means to make big decisions with God, but also what Caleb and I are most passionate about. And what basically we're giving our lives for, and what all of our sermons come back to, is how do we organize our lives around Jesus? How do we do our daily lives with Jesus? And so this sermon today is for everyone, whether you have a big life decision to make that you're currently sitting in, or whether you're just like, no, I'm where I'm supposed to be, but actually, how do I do this daily life with Jesus better? And to ask the question, which could feel scary, might not, but am I actually happy with how I'm spending my days? Am I happy with how I'm living my life? Is Jesus calling the shots? As a community, Caleb and I, at our home on Harrison Street for the last coming up 7 years, we lead a community house called the Anglican Order of Transformation. And we have young, or I shouldn't say young people, like, I don't know, just like, people who are passionate for Jesus and want to join our community and for us to train them in leadership. They come and they live in our home, and we have rhythms of prayer to help us in our prayer life. We have rhythms of supervision to help us reflect on what Jesus is saying to us. And we have rhythms of serving. We also have rhythms of discernment. And on Sunday night, at our discipleship night, we kick-started Discernment Tober. So every October is discernment month for us. And we've gleaned that practice from Justin and Jenny, who said that it's really good in October to discern what is God calling, what's the big block for me next year, and to discern that by the end of October so that you can then be present to November and Christmas, have a great summer holiday, and then when the next year starts, you're not scrambling with, oh, what am I doing? Like, you've actually got clear what God is calling me into. So on Sunday night, we started Discernment Tober. And we started it in Psalm 139. And we do that every year. We spend time sitting in Psalm 139 because it's from that place of relationship and knowing God's goodness and knowing that there is no that we can go apart from him, that he knows our thoughts, he discerns our thoughts. And it's in that place of relationship with God, knowledge of God's goodness, that we can then do the mahi, we can do the work around discerning. So there's three steps to our discernment toba. We dwell in Psalm 139 and remind ourselves of the goodness of God. And then we have some tools to reflect, and I'm going to share some of those tools in a moment. And then we decide. And in our case, for our community, am I being called for another year in community or not? But for you, there might be a different question that you kind of have in there. What is God calling me into next year? So it's a three-step process. And so that's what I'm going to take us through today to help us have the tools to discern well. So just looking at the knowledge of God's goodness, just want to look at this one first. There are three parts, I think, to Psalm 139. So when I was sitting with it and highlighting it, I felt like there were three stages to it. And the first one is looking at relationship. I need Caleb here. Relationship with God and looking at God's goodness and seeing that he searches us, that he knows us, that he is familiar with us, yeah? So we look at God's goodness and our relationship with him. The second part of the psalm is to do with praise and wonder. And I'll come back to these in a moment. But the third part, I believe, is to do with repentance, so that we can step into God's ways for us and rid ourselves of the things that are getting in the way. How do you spell repentance? R-E-P-E-N-T-A-N-C-E? Anyway, you know what it is. That's fine. Okay. So part one, you search me, you know me, you discern my thoughts, and you are acquainted with all my ways. God is for us. God knows us, and God loves us. And I love that piece of he is acquainted with all my ways. And it makes me think about kindy pickup for my girls. It's happened with all of them, and at the moment it's with Abigail, who's at kindy house. She's four. And whenever, it's one of my highlights of my day is when I go to pick Abigail up and I'll walk into kindy house and I'll see her, I'll kind of scan the room and then I'll spot her and she's often pottering, doing a puzzle with a friend or, I don't know, playing mums and dads with her other kindy friends or on the swing. And I'll spot her and then I'll call out, Abigail! And I will know in her body language before she's even seen me that she knows that it's me. Because she is familiar with my voice. And I can tell in her body language that she's like, and then she turns around, massive grin, runs up to me, massive hug. And there's just this familiarity where she knows my voice before she's seen me because she is familiar to me. And equally, although majority of the time it's a big hug and a big like excitement, sometimes I can tell in her body language before she's turned around what kind of a day she's had. Just by like, you know, a freeness or a, you know, rigidity or the slowness of walking to me. There's a familiarity between us. And I think that's a really helpful image for us to think about in our relationship with God. Oh, that we would be so familiar with his voice. It's so often an issue for us as Christians. We're like, oh, is that God's voice or is that just mine? Is that my parents' voice or is that mine? Is that God's voice? So there's an invitation here in Psalm 139 to remind ourselves that God is so acquainted with us, that he loves us, that he knows us, that there is nowhere that we can go apart from him, and that we would actually live in the truth of that. So I think that's the first part of the psalm, is about familiarity. The second part, recognition of praise and wonder and proclaiming the truth. What we see with the psalmist is that he is saying, I praise you, God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Verse 14, wonderful are your works. Verse 12, even the darkness is not dark to you. There's this recognition of the psalmist knowing how good God is. In verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I go? And this year, on Sunday night when we were sitting with the psalm, the thing that stood out to me the most that hasn't kind of resonated as much in previous years was the image of God's hand. I just want to read these two verses to you. Verse 5, you hem me in behind and before and lay your hand on me. Verse 10, even there your hand shall lead me. And I love that. Because as humans, when I come to Tabea and I put my hand on her shoulder, that's me saying, hey, I see you. And in a moment of connection and care. And as a parent, reaching out my hand for my daughter to hold when we cross the road. Because actually, she's not ready to cross the road by herself. She needs me to lead her. Yeah? And God's hand is there for us. And actually, there are some times where she doesn't need to hold my hand because we're not crossing the road, but she just will say, Mum, can I hold your hand? Because I want that connection with you. Or as the mother, the other day, we were walking in town. I didn't need to hold her hand. She didn't need to hold my hand. We were safe. All was good. But I just said, Abby, can I hold your hand? Because I just wanted to hold her cute hand and just be connected. And I think that's a beautiful image for us, that God lays his hand on us because he sees us, he cares for us. And his hand is there for us to hold, for him to guide us in his ways. Yeah, so the second part of the psalm is, the psalmist says, praise and wonder, God, you are amazing. Even darkness is not dark to you. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Where can I go from your spirit? And then part three is the psalmist kind of, I was actually talking to Mike before the service and he was like, do you want me to read those kind of those verses in the psalm that aren't so nice, like the kind of icky ones about like bloodthirst and where's my copy of the psalm gone here? Yeah, where is it? Oh, that you would kill the wicked, O God, and that the bloodthirsty would depart from me. Those who speak of you maliciously and lift themselves up against you for evil. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. It's like, oh, that's a part of the psalm. I was actually going to cut that out too. I was like, let's just do the nice ones. But I was like, no, don't do that, Billy. And as I read it over and over again to try and like get what is the psalmist doing here, he's basically, the psalmist is saying, anything that is not God actually repulses me. And I don't want anything that is not God to be in my life. And if there is any wicked way in me, God, like take that from me. I repent. I turn to you again. And as the followers of Jesus, as we come before him, and if we're wanting him to be dictating the play, then we need to let him be Lord. And we need to be humble to recognize the things in our lives that are not godly. So that's the three main parts of the psalm. That it states that we are in relationship with God and that God is good. That the psalmist recognizes that in praise and wonder. And also is repentant, wanting God to be Lord. And then the psalm finishes with, what does the psalm finish with? Lead me in ways everlasting. So the psalmist is like recognizing all these truths and then says, okay, in this place of recognition of who you are and who I am, I say, lead me, Lord. If we ask someone to lead us, what do we then need to do? Follow. Yeah, it's all very well to say, God, I want to follow you. I want my life to be for you. I want to be a disciple of you. And just to stay there in that place saying those things, having that dream of that life. But actually, we've got to take the faithful daily steps and a long obedience to what Jesus has for us in our lives. And what I really like, when I was just sharing thoughts with Caleb around this, he said, he was thinking of Romans 12, where it says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Then you will be able to discern what God's will is for your life. So the only way that we can discern God's will for our lives is to have our minds transformed. And so sitting in Psalm 139 and embedding those truths in our lives will help us to see more clearly and discern what God has for us in our lives. You with me? Cool. So that's a bit of a process for us of knowledge of God's goodness by sitting in Psalm 139. And I'd encourage you to like take half an hour this week just to sit in it and say, oh, God, what are you like pointing out to me in particular this time? So that's the first bit, soaking in his goodness. Second part of the process is to reflect. Okay, so actually, how are things going in my life? What's going well, what's not going so well? And it's good to spend some time with you journal or chat with a friend, but I want to give you three tools to help you to reflect, because it actually requires intentionality and space. I might turn this over. Now, these are three tools that you will have heard of before in our sermons. And if you go back onto our YouTube channel, there are whole sermons on, like I could do a whole sermon on each of the shapes, but I'm just going to touch on them, okay? So the first shape is the up and out triangle, which is actually what our Wellington Diocese and what our church and a lot of churches base their vision on. That basically in our discipleship journey, we've got an equal balance of up, which is our relationship with God, in is our relationship with those in our community and those around us, and out is our relationship with the world. Yeah? So out in our church, we have up as our services, our small groups, our retreats, all those things that help us in our relationship with God. And then our in life together, which to be overseas, is things like are those events that bring us together as the parish, yeah, where we get to do life together. And then out is our missional worlds, where we're intentional about engaging in God's world. So a helpful thing to do is to draw that triangle and to sit and be like, actually, my in life is pretty average. Like, I love going to church. I do great quiet times. I'm really connected with, like, doing stuff in the community. But actually, I don't really have many friends, and I feel quite lonely. Yeah? Or you might be like, yep, I love my small group. I'm really connected. I'm really missionally engaged. But actually, my relationship with God feels pretty, like, on the back burner, and I find it really hard to hear his voice. And I find it really hard to connect with God and worship. Yeah? Or you might be like, I'm awesome at this and not these. Okay? So just to spend some time of like, where are my strengths? Where do I most naturally feel inclined to spend my time? And where do you find it a bit more edgy and uncomfortable? And just to spend some time with God reflecting. And you could list out the things that make you feel connected on up, in, and out. Okay? The second model that I think is really helpful, and Michelle Toffs did a great sermon on this a couple of years ago, is the challenge-nurture matrix. This is a really helpful discipleship tool to help us reflect on, are we living into the fullness of what God has for us? So if we live a life where there's lots of nurture, there's lots of love in our life, we've got great relationships with our spouse, with our children, with our friends, but actually there's not much challenge. We're kind of like status quo. That's what we call the cozy quadrant, where we feel super comfortable, but we're kind of just in this motion of like not stepping into any challenge, yeah? Down here, low challenge, low nurture is the boring quadrant, or what you might call death. It's just like, what even is this life I'm living? There's no challenge, nobody loves me. I have got, it's like maybe even kind of a depressive state, where actually there's not much relationally going for you. You're quite isolated, there's no challenge, and it's like just really like dull, yeah? That's low nurture and low challenge. Over here is high challenge and low nurture. And this quadrant is what we call the stress quadrant, where actually there's a lot of challenge in your life, a lot of stuff that's making you uncomfortable, you're holding a lot of responsibility, life is go, 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 and there's very low nurture. So maybe, so examples would be like you don't remember the last time you had a holiday or a Sabbath, or the last time you went on a date night with your spouse, or spent quality time with your children, or the last time you had a quiet time. So nurture is like totally go have a massage or a facial if you need that, or have a good holiday, but it's also about like your relationship with God. Is your relationship with God nurturing you at the moment? Are you allowing God's love to nurture you? So this is stress, burnout quadrant. But this is the sweet spot. High nurture and high challenge is where we see transformation. Now, I'm not saying that we don't sometimes need a cozy moment in life. I'm not saying that. We totally need cozy moments. I'm about to have 4 cozy days in Auckland with my sister and my children, going to the zoo, eating ice creams, drinking wine with my sister. Like, we need moments where we dip into cozy, yeah? And actually, I think we just sometimes need little moments of stress to, like, kick us into action. And often you actually have to go into stress before you then, like, dip up into transformation. So stress in and of itself sometimes is actually really helpful, but if we stay in this space, that's not healthy. The dream place is to be in a place where there is high nurture, high accountability, lots of love, lots of good rhythms of Sabbath and holiday, quiet times with God, but also challenge, where we go to the places that God calls us and we feel a bit like, I don't want to go there. Yeah? This is the place of obedience and where we step into the unknown, but trusting God has got good things for us. So that's a tool to use as you reflect on the year that's been. Where have I spent most of my year? Where are you at the moment? Are you in boredom? Like, what even is this thing called following Jesus? Are you really super stressed and need some support, some nurture to help you get into this space? Do you need to just go here for a little while? Or are you avoiding this space, knowing that there's challenge you could step into, but you're too afraid? Yeah? So that's another tool to use. And then the third tool I want to give you is the semicircle, which is also the pendulum. So over here is abiding and rest. And over here is work, doing the mahi that Jesus has called you into. And the dream is that with this pendulum, there would be this continuous, you know, with a pendulum, it's like ding, ding. The dream in our discipleship journey is that we would have this like seamless journey between abiding in Christ and doing the mahi, doing the work that God has called us into. And when we have got that pendulum going like this, we have fruitful lives. Yeah? But if we're just like stagnant or just like and the rest or ding and the stress, like hyper random, not balanced. We want to be living a balanced life, yoked with Jesus. Okay? So that's another one to reflect. Is my life fruitful for the kingdom? And there's loads of different markers that define fruitfulness. But basically, are we walking in the way that Jesus is leading us? Yeah? So they are three tools: the up and out triangle, the nurture challenge matrix, and the abide work pendulum. Cool. Are you with me? Great. So we have sat in Psalm 139 and reminded ourselves of the goodness of God and who he is and who we are. And then we've spent some time reflecting using the three different tools, the three tools. And then we've got to not just say, lead us and stay still, but now we've got to follow and actually make the decision, okay, God's calling me into this thing and I'm now going to walk in that, okay? And I think a helpful tool is the Kairos circle, which I know that Katie Thomas did an excellent sermon on this last, like, August, I think, so you can go back through. But basically with the Kairos circle, we're asking the question, Jesus, what are you saying? And then the second question is, so what am I going to do about it? And sometimes when I feel a bit stressed about like, what am I supposed to do? I actually haven't just like sat long enough to ask that question. Because genuinely, if you just sit and say, Jesus, what are you saying? He will tell you. If you listen long enough, he will tell you. Something will stir in your heart. It's just whether we have the courage to then say, okay, so what am I going to do about it? And then to actually act on it. So some things to help you in this time of Kairos, of asking God, what am I going to do, is to fast, to spend time fasting, which is a really helpful way to remind ourselves of the things that distract us from Jesus and the earthly comforts that we kind of sometimes put in place to avoid the challenge. Also having times of silence. We live in a very loud world, and actually I still find silence really hard. I go on 24-hour silence retreats, and it's not till like hour 23 that I finally have a moment, because it takes such a long time to still my soul. Be still, my soul. Simple prayer, but actually quite challenging to do in this crazy loud world that we live in. And our inner worlds of anxiety and doubt and insecurity, that's all voices, that's all noise as well. There's a difference between quietness and silence in the presence of God. We have an Advent retreat coming up in a few months. Get your name down for that. A great day to spend in silence with Jesus. And the other thing that I would encourage is to do discernment as part of community, as part of the body. Like, yes, you need time by yourself with Jesus, but also, like, ask a trusted friend to go out for coffee and be like, hey, these are the things I feel God's been saying to me. What are your thoughts on this? Like, is, you know me, like, can you help me discern this? So don't do it isolated, but do it in community with others. And what I would say is that I think that discernment is not so much necessarily discerning what is right and what is wrong, but it's discerning between what is almost right and what is right. And that's sometimes the tricky thing, eh? Because actually in life, there are often lots of great opportunities, and it's actually discerning which of those great opportunities would be the one that God would have for me. And in all of this, God's grace is abundant. A.W. Tozer quote, true obedience is the refusal to compromise in any regard our relationship with God, regardless of the consequences. I'll say that again. True obedience is the refusal to compromise in any regard our relationship with God, regardless of the consequences. What are we following? Who are we following? What are we following? Is it Jesus? And I have a vision, I have a dream that all of us would engage in discernment Toba, and would have these things that we are going to commit to next year, and that we would see all of us going hard for Jesus in 2025. Can you imagine if we upped our intentionality in that prayer, God, lead us and I will follow? Now, I'm not saying that I'm not full of a room of beautiful, amazing people who are faithful in their journey with Jesus, but I firmly believe that there is always more. There is always more. And now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could think, ask, or imagine, according to his good work in and through our lives. Let me pray. Jesus, you are so good. You are acquainted with all of our ways, our icky ways, our glorious ways, and you love us, and you don't flee from us, but you come closer if we let you come. And so in this moment again, we say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Break our hearts for what breaks yours. Give us courage not to live mediocre lives. Give us faith to trust in you. Would you give us the discipline to discern well, to reflect well? We bless your name and pray, Holy Spirit, that you would keep guiding us and leading us and drawing us in your ways. I pray against the spirit of distraction in Jesus' name. I pray against the spirit of distraction, of half-truths, and proclaim your lordship in our lives. And that where you lead, we would follow, Lord. Amen.